so true. God takes such great care of His children. He has a good record doing that. And since the first of the year, we've been talking about the goodness of God. It's impossible for us to really understand just how good God is. We began by looking at His children after 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness. Some of you have been wandering for 40 years. Saw a bumper sticker this week that says, "Not everyone who wanders is lost." Some people just enjoy the journey. But God's people spent 40 years wandering around. And at the end of that 40 years, God spoke a fresh word and said, "You are already blessed right here, right now where you are. These 40 years you've wandered around," and God said, "You have lacked nothing." But then He said, "You've camped at this mountain long enough. It's time to get up and go into the land I've promised you. Take possession of the promise." And God has always shown up when His children were in trouble. We've looked at how well God provides for His children. He is the great provider for all of us. There is not one single thing God has not gotten you through. You are here today. He has brought you through everything to this very moment. And then last week we shifted a little from looking at how good God provides for His children, and now we're looking at how mighty our God is to deliver His children. Now, this today is more good news for you if you're in trouble, or for your children when they are in trouble. Last week I talked about the time that comes when God says, "I will act now. I will put this off no longer. I will no longer be silent. I will speak to the trouble you're in." It was a time for urgent action. God shows up to deliver His people. We looked at the verse in Psalm 50, verse 15, where God says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Today we look at another verse and move forward. David in Psalm 46 and verse 1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." A very present help in trouble. The original Hebrew says it like this: "His help is abundantly available." That's the way God shows up to deliver His people. God is not just barely enough. God always shows up and proves that He is more than enough. And when you are walking through the day of trouble, that's what David called it, the day of trouble. Even Elvis knew there was a day of trouble that would come around every now and then. And when he saw a day of trouble raise its head, he famously said, "I smell trouble. The day of trouble, none of us can avoid it. It will surely come to us. The Bible does not deny the day of trouble, but it gives us good news in the middle of that day of trouble. God says, "I will deliver you. And my help is present with you. And my help is abundantly available to you in the day of trouble." I'm telling you, I've lived long enough to appreciate the delivering hand of God when He reaches me in the day of trouble. This is good news for you and for your children. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved," or delivered, redeemed, rescued. And so many times in my life, I have seen it play out where Jesus came to my rescue and to yours over and over again. I speak his name when the storm clouds gather. Now, God provides well, and he delivers his children. I was reading recently in Exodus, the second chapter in the Living Bible. God looked down at his people and realized they needed deliverance, and so he raised up Moses. And here's what the Living Bible says in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 25. It said, God knew the time had come for their rescue. God knew the time had come for their rescue. You may be in trouble today. You may be living in your day of trouble today. But there comes a time when God says, I know their time of rescue has come. And it is a time for God to take urgent action on our behalf. A lot of God's people have been in trouble. Not just us, but our ancestors. Every generation of God's people have been tested and proven. The king signed an order that everyone who would not worship him as God would be killed, thrown into the lion's den. And Daniel was a godly man, and he said, I'm not going to bow down to a man. I'm not going to give my worship that alone belongs to God to any man, even the king. And so the king had him thrown in the den of hungry lions. And he survived that. And when he survived the den full of hungry lions, and there was not even a scratch on his body, the king came to Daniel and said in Daniel 6:20, has your God been able to deliver you from the lions? And Daniel's answer was, oh, yes, he did. Has your God been able to deliver you? That's the question you will hear. It will haunt you from time to time when you're in the thick of battle and in the day of trouble. The enemy will come to you and taunt you with those words. Has your God been able to deliver you? But the answer will always be, oh yes, my God has delivered me. Last week, I gave you what I love right now. I'm loving it every day of my life right now. It's a commentary, a Bible paraphrase of the verse of Scripture that says, for God has delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And the paraphrase I gave you last week that I love, because it describes how God will get to his children just in time and rescue them out of danger. And the paraphrase goes like this. He grabbed me by the back of the neck and snatched me out of danger just in the nick of time. That's how God does it. He's seldom early, never late. There have been times, and I gave you a few last week, in my personal life, not just me, I'm sure you have your stories to tell too, where this sentence would describe exactly how God delivered you. The Bible is filled with one account after another where God's children were in danger. And like he's done for me many times and for you many times, God grabs them by the back of the neck and snatches them out of danger just in the nick of time. I'm telling you, he is a very present help in trouble. He is abundantly available to help us in the day of trouble. Good news for you and for your children this morning. In Mark's gospel in the 4th chapter, a very familiar story. Let's revisit it today and glean some new revelation from it, perhaps. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Now, let's stop right there. How picturesque is this? Here's the Lord Jesus among us. We've just heard him teach great revelation. Such a great teacher, people would whisper to themselves, this man speaks with great authority. And then they get in a boat, not a cloud in the sky, and they push off from land, and they head out to a beautiful, picturesque, serene day of sailing on the water. Has a day ever started like that in your life? And then suddenly, look what happens in the next verse. And a great windstorm arose. Oh, didn't see that coming. Probably had they seen that coming, if they had known that would happen, they would not have obeyed his word to begin with when he said, "Let us cross over to the other side." But they didn't know a storm was on the way. The waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now, this day started out beautifully. Nothing on the horizon that looked threatening or ominous at all. And then suddenly they were blindsided and caught off guard and realized instantly, we are in the middle of our day of trouble, David talked about. The Amplified Bible says this storm was a storm of hurricane proportions. I remember Matthew just a few months ago, and I remember Hugo a few years ago. Hurricane proportions. Now, elsewhere in Scripture, storms would arise at sea. In the Bible, the sea represents our life. When the waves are smooth and gentle, it represents a wonderful life. But when a storm comes up out of nowhere on the sea and the winds toss a boat about on the sea, it represents trouble in our life. And it comes sometimes out of nowhere. Another time a storm came up at sea was when Paul was in the boat with more than 200 other men, and the ship was caught in the storm, and Paul said, "We could not face the wind. We gave way to it and let ourselves be driven along." And then Paul said about that storm, all hope of being saved was gradually abandoned. Now, that is a subtle way for hope to dissipate. It leaves in small increments. You lose a little bit of your hope every day, just a little every day. So little that there never is one single day where an alarm goes off and you realize, oh my God, I'm hopeless all of a sudden. No, it's a little bit every day, your hope gradually abandoned until you realize all hope now is gone. Paul described that. All hope of their being rescued was gone. It had gradually abandoned. But then God showed up and delivered them. Not a single man on that boat lost their life, even after all hope was gone. God is a deliverer, and he's a very present help in trouble. I want to give you three things that God does. In fact, God speaks in three ways when you're in your day of trouble, when your sea is storm-raged and your ship is being tossed about. Number one, God speaks to the storm you are in. God speaks to the storm you're in. Now, we're a strange bunch of people. We're a little strange. The world has a right to think we're peculiar, because we do crazy things sometimes, like we speak to mountains. We tell them where to go. God, if it were Wednesday night, I'd explain that. And when you're in the middle of a storm and in your day of trouble, God will speak to the storm you're in. Famously, right here, God spoke to the storm and said, "Peace, be still." The Message translation says, "He told the wind to pipe down, and the wind ran out of breath." David said, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters." The voice of the Lord is over the waters. We go back to Genesis 1, the very beginning. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The next verse says, "But the earth was without form and void. But God moved on the face of the waters." One translation said, "God hovered over the waters." The third verse says, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." So that's the biblical order of how God works with His creation. First of all, He will make a thing. In the beginning, He created. And then God will move over that which He has created. He makes a thing, and then He moves over that thing. And when He finishes moving over the thing He's created, it reflects light and revelation that gives Him glory for what He's created. And David said, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. Even the wind and the sea obey the voice of the Lord when God speaks to the storm that you are in." God will speak to the storm that's raging in your life today, and He will say, "Peace, be still." God speaks to the storm you are in. And then secondly, God speaks to you in the storm. Oh, there's a word from God while you're in the storm. God has something to say to you about the storm. Trouble is not all bad, especially if you know God is going to be your deliverer. When you know that God is a very present help in times of trouble, there is some redemption that's involved in the day of trouble. The New Testament actually says that it is good for us to walk through trouble righteously. And if we could see it from God's perspective, we would count it a joyful thing when the day of trouble comes. No, we're not going to receive another offering. After that great revelation, we're not going to receive another offering. None of us want to see a day of trouble, and none of us like to think it's joyful while trouble's going on. But God always has a word for His people. Just because trouble is swallowing you up, you may think right now, that does not mean God is mute and cannot speak. It does not mean God is void of revelation and has nothing to say when you're in trouble. Oh, no. When you're in the middle of the storm, God speaks to you while you're there. And in fact, sometimes you're able to hear Him say some things you've never been able to hear Him say on a clear and sunny day. But trouble helps us realize how desperate we are for God, and our ears are attuned to what He would say to us in the day of trouble. In Matthew chapter 14, another scenario that took place with Jesus and his disciples in a boat. This time it was just the disciples crossing the land. They had left, or crossing the sea. They had left Jesus on shore. And they get halfway out on their journey across the sea, and another storm comes up. More than one storm, have you noticed, in your lifetime? More than one. But in every storm that comes, he's always a very present help, and he's abundantly available to help in your day of trouble. So on this particular occasion, winds started raging and tossing that ship with the disciples on board. And they began to respond only in the natural, only in the natural, toiling and rowing. They were wearing themselves out. How many of you are depending on your flesh and your natural abilities alone to survive the storm you're in? And you're wearing yourself out. You are weary already from toiling and rowing against the wind. One translation says the wind was contrary to them. Don't you hate it when the winds of life blow contrary to you? Much better when it's at your back. They were in survival mode, doing all they knew to do in the natural to just survive this storm. The Bible says that it was the fourth watch of the night. In other words, it doesn't get any later or any darker than it was right then, and their life was on the line. And if they had heard the song back then, which it had not been written then, they would have broken out with the chorus, "If you've ever needed the Lord before, you sure do need him now." Somebody here today might say, "That's me. If I've ever needed the Lord before, I sure do need him now. Today is my day of trouble." That may hit home for somebody here today. The disciples were so paralyzed by fear and worn out in the natural, trying to survive. The Lord Jesus came walking to them on the water, but they were so paralyzed by fear they didn't recognize the Lord. That's a real possibility when you're in the day of trouble, to be so distracted and so overwhelmed by circumstances and to be running on survival mode until you run on empty and you don't know what else to do. Then when the Lord does come to you, you're not able to recognize him. That was the case with the disciples. But he came and he spoke a word. God speaks to you. He spoke to Peter. Peter said, "Oh, if that's you, speak to me, talk to me. Let me come to you." And Jesus spoke a word to Peter and said, "Come." So sometimes you're in the middle of the storm and you'll hear the Lord speak a word to you. And it's always a good word. He's inviting you to come to him. So we have God speaks to the storm you're in. Secondly, God speaks to you in the storm. And then thirdly, God speaks to the storm in you. Frustration, doubt, depression, despair, defeat, anger, all of this boiling on the inside of you in the day of trouble. It comes as an attempt to get you to distrust God. Because certainly if we trusted God no matter what, we wouldn't struggle on the inside with doubt and fear and frustration and anger. So whenever there's a storm raging around you, God will speak to it. And not only that, but God will speak a word to you that will get you through that day of trouble. But then God doesn't overlook this part. He will speak to the storm that's raging like a civil war inside you. And this happened even with God's people, even with good people. The passage there is the two sisters, Mary and Martha. So different as night and day, these two sisters, yet they both loved the Lord. And the Lord came to their house to fellowship with them. And Martha was so busy, distracted with serving. Now, if you're going to have a distraction that would take your focus off the Lord, I would say serving is a good one. I mean, but but if it's distracting you from the Lord, it's not good at all. And she was busy providing the meal, setting the table, cooking in the kitchen, back and forth, preparing a great meal, and didn't realize that she had overlooked the most important thing. So Jesus had to speak to the storm that was raging in her. He had to get her attention. And he said, "Martha, Martha," called her name twice. And in Christian Life School of Theology, some of you who sat through courses that brought this point out, in the New Testament, when you see a word repeated twice, like verily, verily, it may be written in the context or in the text twice, but the word was only spoken once, but it was screamed at a high volume. So when we read in Scripture where Jesus spoke to the storm in Martha, that storm that was raging, it was an internal issue that needed to be addressed. And don't we all have them? The Scripture may say, "Martha, Martha." Jesus said, "Martha, Martha." He repeated her name in the text. But the truth is, according to history, he only called her name once. But he screamed it, "Martha!" And there's no way the scribes who wrote the Scripture could get that point across other than writing her name twice. But literally, he screamed her name. Now, sometimes we're in the middle of a storm. We had nothing to do. It came out of nowhere. We were blindsided by it. And if it were not for God being a very present help in our time of trouble, we would have drowned immediately. It would have taken us out. And then we learn, thankfully, that while that storm's going on around us, God has a word for us. He will speak to us as we go through a storm. And then, like he did here with Martha, he addressed the storm that was raging on the inside of her. And he said, "You are worried and troubled about many things." Some of us have wars going on the inside, but just worried and troubled, anxious about so many things. We spend more time worrying than we do praying if we're not careful, and we can't do a good job at both. We have to choose whether we will pray or whether we will worry. But Jesus said, "Martha, snap out of it, girl. Look at you. You're worried and troubled about so many things, and only one thing is necessary." Now, hey, if you're in a day of trouble right now, storms are raging and tossing your life here and there and yonder, you need to realize what Martha had to realize. There's only one thing necessary. And by contrast, her sister Mary had chosen that one thing: to sit and hear his word. So regardless of how much noise the storm is making, and I remember the noise from the hurricane, the sound of the wind blowing around the corners of the house. Were you in town when Matthew came through early October of this past fall? Oh, you could hear it. Not only do you see a storm and feel the storm, but you hear the storm. Many years ago, Brenda and I lived in California, and we had heard, of course, as everybody has heard, that, oh, earthquakes happen out there a lot. It's going to fall off one of these days. Any day now, the whole state of California is just going to fall off because of the fault line and earthquakes. So we were out there. We'd been living out there a few months, and it was about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We were in the bedroom. Brenda was ironing a shirt for me to put on. We had to go to TBN that night at 7 o'clock. And so she was ironing me a shirt. And we were just talking in the bedroom, busy, getting ready for a big night. And we were talking to each other in normal conversation, just about like this right here. And as we were talking over a period of 30 seconds, maybe 60 seconds at the most, a noise got louder and louder. It was so faint to begin with, we didn't really stop talking. We just kept talking. And then, but within 30 seconds or so, we realized we were having to talk a little louder just so we could hear each other talk over this noise. And finally, we both stopped talking and said, after the noise had reached a certain volume, "What is that noise?" And instantly I answered myself before we felt a thing. I realized the noise was coming from the earth. And I said to Brenda, "This is an earthquake." Still hadn't felt a thing, but heard it. And when I said, "This is an earthquake," then the ground started shaking and the house started squeaking and the windows started rattling and we were holding on to the ironing board and the bed. I mean, we were along for the ride, but my point is we could hear the noise before we could feel the earthquake. And that's the way it is sometimes. We're doing business, living our life day in, day out, so caught up in the routine of what we have to do, and we all do what we have to do. Sometimes a storm is brewing, and the volume of the storm that's headed our way, even before we feel any of the effects, it drowns out our ability to hear God speak. But I'm promising you, when you're in your day of trouble and your life is on the line because of a storm that has come out of nowhere, God will speak to the storm that's raging inside you. He won't overlook that. He always says the same thing when he speaks to the storm in you. The same thing he said to Martha, only one thing is necessary. Only one thing is necessary. We need to choose the necessary part and not be so worried and troubled about many things. Now, the word you need is always within earshot. God is a great communicator. He is very capable to speak and be heard. And his word is on his lips and ready to fall on our ears. And the Lord knows when the time has come for your rescue. And when that time comes, it's Jesus to the rescue. Whoever calls on that name shall be saved, delivered, and rescued. Now, as I get older, I appreciate lyrics to songs more than I used to. I don't know if it's just me, but, you know, sometimes songs can reach us when the spoken word falls short. And that's our fault. But some of the song lyrics that I appreciate that's helped me in my day of trouble, and I've had more than one. Some of you are living it right now, either you or your children. One song says, "Hold me fast. Let me stand in the hollow of your hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by." Another famous lyric in a great song, "The anchor holds in spite of the storm." When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. And that's his word. He says, "I will be your very present help in times of trouble." An old black song that our African-American brothers and sisters taught us from years ago, "Trouble in my way. I have to cry sometimes, but I know Jesus will fix it after a while." And then a more modern and contemporary song that challenges us to rise to the occasion and overcome in the day of trouble, says, I will praise him in the storm. That's a test for somebody today. Storm raging, last thing on your mind, praising. You need to declare, oh, even in the storm, I will praise him. He's worthy even in the storm. Before he stills the storm, he's worthy to be praised. And then another Elvis song. You know, and Elvis, I think, recorded 6 gospel albums. Now, that's amazing when you think about it. Here's a man who invented rock and roll. The king of rock and roll, they called him. But the touch of God on his life, even from a boy in an Assembly of God, Pentecostal church in Memphis, left its mark on him. And even the king of rock and roll would stay up all night with gospel singers singing gospel music. And one gospel song he recorded said, I can feel his hand in mine, and that's all I need to know. Can you imagine it? I can feel his hand in mine, and that's all I need to know. I'm closing with Psalm 29, verse 11. It says, the Lord will give strength to his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. Now listen, that's not based on a weather report. That doesn't matter whether the storms are coming or going. The Lord gives strength to his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. And even in your day of trouble, if you belong to the Lord, his peace belongs to you. He can speak to the storm and call it peace. God speaks to the storm you were in. God speaks to you in the storm, and God speaks to the storm in you. God always has something to say that's worth hearing. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody standing. Bow your heads as the men and women who serve on our prayer team find their way to the front. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is a sacred moment for just one moment. Every head bowed. Maybe you're standing here today and you will say, I am not even sure that my salvation is a settled issue. I know about God. I want to say I love God. I certainly believe in God, but I'm not fully surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. And I believe he's calling for a commitment from my life today. If that's you, raise your hand. Anybody say, pray for me. I need to know for sure. God bless the hand back here to my left. Any others? God bless the hand in the middle section here to my right. Thank you for being honest. God bless the hand back here to my right and the far back. Thank you for being honest. Listen, I believe God's calling today. One step closer to God. Get close enough in prayer before you leave that you will leave with assurance. You will leave knowing absolutely, if I were to die today, heaven is my home. I'm surrendered to Jesus as my Lord. Thank you for raising your hands, those of you who were honest. We will pray for you. And then let me ask another question. How many here today are saying, this word is in season for me? I am facing my day of trouble, and the winds are blowing against me, and I believe Jesus is my very present help in my day of trouble. Raise your hands if that's you. God bless the many of you. God will speak to that storm you're in. Instead of calling it a hurricane, he will call it peace, and he will command it to be still. God bless that hand that's raised way high right there. God meeting with you right now. Father, thank you for the word of the Lord. It's like a lifeline today. This is good news for us and for our children. Even in our day of trouble, you are a very present help. And we call on the name Jesus. And as always, according to your word, it is Jesus to the rescue. Jesus to the rescue. Thank you that we know who to call on in our day of trouble, and it's always Jesus to the rescue. Now, Lord, we ask you to meet with your children right here at this altar now in the prayer of agreement. Would you speak your word to the storm that's raging in our life? Would you speak your word to us while we're in the middle of a storm? And would you speak your word to the storm that's raging in us? We believe the word of the Lord can change everything. So we sanctify these altars now, and we call it a holy place where God speaks to his children, where there's an open heaven above our heads, and the people of God hear clearly the word of the Lord, just the word we need. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. We're dismissing you.